Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Exodus, chapter 8, verse 9. Exodus, chapter 8, verse 9. Exodus, chapter 8, verse 9 reads this way. It says, "And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow, and he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing that you are in our midst, we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you this evening. And, Lord, that you would just strengthen the faith that you've given to us, and that we might grow in your grace and be the witnesses and the testimony in your power, Lord, to a lost and dying world. That we might encourage our own family, our church family, and the world to come to know you as Savior, and Lord, that we might walk in your ways. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, One More Night with the Frogs. Can you believe that? One More Night with the Frogs. I don't know why he ever came to this conclusion. Well, we'll look at it here in just a moment. What we're really dealing with here is the consequences for disobeying the Lord. That's what we're dealing with right here, and this is what's going on. You know, to the carnal mind, disobeying God appears to be excusable. The lost world says, oh, God will forgive me. That's if God exists, that's how they look at it. Surely he'll forgive me for it. But they don't realize that everything begins with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and then he changes our life. Jesus Christ did not come just to give us a free pardon of sin, and that's all. He died and paid for our sins to give us eternal life, but then he rose again to give us a new life in him. And so that is all. That's why the Bible tells us that we're a holy people, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, and something that the world looks on and can see the grace of God at work in our lives. And so this is critically important. And of course, we know it was alive in the life of Moses and Aaron, and they were working the will of God and the power of God. Now, some people confuse this idea. They say, well, does that mean sinless perfection? No, nobody ever talked about that. We know that we deal with sin, but here's the thing. We don't become strong to overcome sin. We are yielded to the Lord that he might overcome sin in our lives, but that doesn't mean that we don't battle it. There is a battle till the day we die. The flesh has to be crucified how often? What did Paul say? Daily, right? Daily it has to be crucified. So the believer can pick up and just get going and forget to call upon the Lord. If we're not careful, we forget that we're supposed to be waiting on the Lord, right? We need to be waiting. That's what the Bible says. And that means that we yield ourselves as his servants and then he works. But in this day and age in which we live, my goodness, there are so many distractions, are there not? I was amazed. We went down for a wedding there in Austin, Texas, and we were right by the community college there. And we walked by a coffee shop right, you know, very, very close by the hotel where we stayed at. And there's a guy sitting out in front of the coffee shop smoking marijuana. And like, no problem at all. And I guess it's legal over there. I don't know. I guess it's legal here to a certain degree. I don't understand all that. But listen, that does no good, really, for the heart and minds of our folks. It doesn't help our society. Now, I understand if maybe they have a need, there's a medical need for it because of pain or whatever there might be for just like any other drug. But just to casually do it is just really a destructive lifestyle. And so that's a life without the Lord. You know, because of salvation, God has given to us so much more than this world can ever give to us. And so that's one thing that Pharaoh did not realize here. And really, the human heart, when we reject the truth of God's word, when people say no to the Lord, when they're presented with the Lord, their heart becomes hardened. And so it becomes more difficult and they get more settled and set. Right? When something, yep, you know, you heard of concrete, it's not set up yet. Don't step on it. But once it's set, it's pretty hard, right? And you know, our heart can set up in the wrong things. And so God wants us to look to him and yield to him and wait on him and trust him to work in our lives. That's where we can rest. That's where we can pick up his yoke, right? And his burden is light. Now, there's a struggle in that. Remember, now we're looking at the life of Moses after he yielded to the Lord. But Moses had a battle at the burning bush. You remember that battle that he had when the Lord said, I'm going to send you to free the people, Lord. Right? And so he had a, listen, look how hard that is to understand. He, remember what he kept saying? I can't speak. I can't do this. And the Lord said, who made man's mouth? Who created you? And then finally he said, listen, Aaron will be your spokesman. But you'll see that it got good to Moses, and he was doing a lot of the talking, and the God was working through his life as he wants to work through our lives. So let's look at three thoughts tonight, and that's simply the Lord's command rejected, and then the unconsidered consequence of rejecting the Lord. So notice verse 1 right here, and let's look at the Lord's command. Here's what he says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve him. That's a pretty direct command. Was God in on that? Absolutely, he was in on that. Moses was just simply a mouthpiece. And, you know, God could have spoke from heaven, could he not, to Pharaoh? But no, that's not what he wanted to do. Listen, God knows everything, and he's worked it all out, and he's chosen. Listen, he's more powerful by himself, and he's chosen to work through you and I, who have how much power? None. We don't have any power, really, without the Lord. Our heartbeat, do you power your heart? No, God holds that, doesn't he? Your breath, our breath, everything that we have, our health is in the hand of the Lord. And you know, and that's comforting when you stop and think about it. Because, and then, listen, God allows things into our life. And this is a hard concept. And God wants us to trust him. Remember what Paul said? I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Right? He had to learn that. Now listen, here's what we do. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, I can be content in whatsoever state I'm in until things aren't going my way. Right? But those are the most important times. Listen, when you're facing difficulty, when you're facing a trial, that is the time to trust the Lord. Anybody can walk in the sunshine, but then when the storms are about, that's where we really have our trust in the Lord. And here's how it works. It may not make sense to us. We may even ask why, right? But listen, we still have to stop and say, but the Lord is in control. I can trust the Lord. The Lord works out how many things for our good? It's easy to say that when everything's all right, but when it's not all right, that requires faith or trust, right? Lord, it doesn't appear that way, but I'm going to trust you in this. And by the way, Lord, I need you to allow me to trust in you, right? I need you to trust. I need you to see this from your eyes. So He says, tell him to let my people go. Verse 2, and if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. Verse 3, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. That makes food not taste very good. Amen. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. I don't like frogs touching me. Amen. I had to get one out of the house. My wife had that little pot over here, and we can only imagine that a frog had jumped in it. I mean, it was a good-sized toad. I wasn't going to pick it up. I used a dustpan and a broom, swept them up, threw them out. But I can't. So that's one frog. And see, listen, just like in the day of Noah, nobody understood rain. Pharaoh did not understand what God was talking about when he said, they're going to be everywhere. I mean, he heard what he said, but he didn't believe it, right? He didn't believe it, or he didn't care to anyway. And notice this, verse 5, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand and thy rod over the streams and over the rivers and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." Not in Goshen, not where the Israelites were at, but all of Egypt was plagued with these frogs in their beds, on their floors. Can you imagine? Everywhere they stepped, they were squishing frogs. And they were just all over. I mean, cold, damp, wet. And notice this. Verse 6, "And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments." Get that. And brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Sure, you want to help us out? I mean, listen, they're not making any sense. They're not being reasonable. So what happened was, what God did through Aaron and Moses impressed the Egyptian magicians to say, well, we're not going to be outdone by that. But they were bringing on more of a plague, and God allowed that to take place, and they brought more on them. So listen, here's one thing to know for sure. When the lost realm is rejecting the Lord, they're not rational. And we need to understand that. Listen, we need to be merciful. We need to be long-suffering. We don't want anything bad to happen to people that don't know the Lord. We want them to get saved. They're blinded by the god of this world, which is Satan. They're blinded by a hard heart. They're blinded by their flesh and the world system. And so they've got everything working against them. And on top of that, Pharaoh is rejecting the Lord and his will, and so there's no light at the end of the tunnel for him. The light only comes in the moment we begin to acknowledge and respect and reverence and revere God Almighty. That's what, listen, I'm wrong. That's what we be. Why would we listen to the Lord? Because we need answers more than what we have. Right? God has revealed something to us, first of all, for salvation he's revealed. And then if we have issues in life, we need to go to the Lord. And when we do that, we honor him. And the Bible tells us that God says that he honors those that honor him. But we'll always have to have a measure of faith. Amen. A measure of faith. Not a lot. Listen, it doesn't have to make sense. You just have to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you. So they call all these frogs upon themselves, and then they come to the end. Verse 8, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord." What is he doing? He's had enough. He's had enough, but it's short-lived, but he wants some relief. Here's what he saw. Ready? He rejected the Lord's order, his command, and he got the consequences, didn't he? Then he had his brilliant magician say, we're not going to be outdone by that. We'll bring more frogs. And so now he's got Moses and Aaron there, and then he's got his brilliant magicians that made the situation worse. So he's not going to them. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever stopped to think about this? He could have gone to his magicians and say, would you guys try to get rid of these frogs? But he didn't. You know why? He wanted relief, and he knew, even though he was rejecting the Lord, who was in control. And so he wanted help. So he calls for Moses and Aaron there in verse 8, and he says, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. He's yielding, but not really. He's half-hearted yielding, right? He wants relief, but he's not receiving the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that crazy? He was confronted with this very situation, and he wanted a temporary reprieve is all he wanted, right? Just a little temporary relief here. And so Moses, notice what it says here in verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. You know, he was praising the Lord. Praise the Lord that you're yielding. You know, Moses was hopeful that this was, you know, that this was going to change him. Moses was hopeful that he, you know, if anything, boy, he may have been thinking, man, maybe he'll come to trust the Lord. Maybe he'll come to be a follower of the Lord. And so he says, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee? This is the revealing question, isn't it? When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. And he said, tomorrow. Is that crazy? If that was me, I'd have said yesterday. Amen. But here it is. Listen. So he's giving him this opportunity, and Pharaoh says, which is really revealing his heart, but here's what he may be thinking. He may be thinking, oh, okay, so these frogs are jumping around everywhere. They're just going to jump back into the river. He doesn't know the way the Lord's going to do it. He's just going to let them die right there, and it's not going to be a pleasant experience. Why? It's not a mean thing. He is showing that when we rebel against the Lord, there are dire, uncomfortable, and repulsive circumstances and situations that we bring into our lives. So the lost world would look at that and say, oh, what a mean and unkind God. No, listen, Pharaoh was receiving mercy from the Lord to see the detriment that he was bringing into his life by his own word, by his own commands. He was making the situation worse. And by the way, listen, even if the world doesn't understand it, God is God. Amen? Even if the world doesn't understand it, and they will understand one day, won't they, that God is God, and we will understand, and listen, we're on the right side as the children of the Lord, but here's the thing, it's still going to be a fearful thing to stand before God Almighty. I mean, we're not going to be in fear, but we are going to see the awesome power of God face to face one day, and we're going to see who people were rejecting and not even knowing, right? We're gonna learn more about God. Listen, Almighty, who spoke everything into being. And listen, I don't know what that's going to be like. In fact, mortal flesh and blood can't stand before the Lord without the Lord. They knew that, didn't they? They said, oh, I'm going to die. It's not going to, you know, when the Lord appeared to people. So notice what happens here. And he says, tomorrow, and verse 10, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know, listen, that there's none like unto the Lord our God. Did you see what Moses was doing right there? More important than anything else is that Pharaoh might know that there is none like our God. More important than the frogs, more important than any inconvenience. By the way, that's what God wants us to know, that there is none like our God. When do we get to see that? When we're in a difficulty, when we're in a trial, and we wait. How? Anxiously or patiently? Patiently. Patiently. Listen, that's the battle of the flesh, right? It's easy to say, I'm waiting on, but no, wait, trusting. Trusting. And how do we do that? We will never do that if we don't call upon the Lord first thing in the morning and say, God, I need you. I need you to give me the faith to trust you. I don't know what this day holds, but I'm going to trust you, and I want your peace in the midst of it, because I want you to be honored and glorified. Here's the first thing. First of all, I know that you want me to be holy and a peculiar royal priesthood that would honor and glorify you. I can't do that in my strength. Can you? I can't do that. So let's call upon the Lord first thing. God, we need you, or we're going to fail. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever failed the Lord? I'll raise mine. here's the whole thing. And that's because I'm operating in my strength. And God, listen, God's not going to allow me to be successful in my strength, because I'm going to say, man, I'm pretty good, right? All of us would do that. You know why? We all have the flesh. It's a proud thing. And God is trying to humble it, that we might not lean to our understanding. We don't have it. We don't, but God does. And God wants to give it to us, that we might walk in his way and trust him. And the world will look on, our family will look on, and they will see who? The Lord. They will see the Lord working in our lives. That's the testimony. That's the witness. You remember when Peter and John went in and they healed the lame man that was lame there for over 40 years? And then he went to the temple, and they were looking at Peter and John, and they said, why are you looking at us like as if by our own power we made this man whole? They pointed to Jesus, right? See, that's the testimony. And many believed. They could have said, yeah, did you like that? You want to see some more? They didn't say that because you know what they knew? They were brought to the place that they knew they didn't have the power. But that was not always the case. Hey, Lord, they rejected you. You want us, did you get that? You want us to call down fire from heaven? Like they could do it. They can't do it. You know why they thought they could do it? Because God gave them power to heal people, didn't they? And to go out there and to do these things. And they came back, Lord, get a load of what we did. And the Lord, what did the Lord say to them? More important than that is that your names are written in the book of life in heaven. You see how easy it is? It is so easy for us to miss the Lord. As a saved child of God, it is so easy. Moses was saved, was he not? And he battled, didn't he? He battled with the Lord to go to Egypt. And likewise, you and I also, and by the way, here's what the Lord wants us to see. In and of ourselves, we are inadequate. We are insufficient. But God is all sufficient. And if we will look to him, God will choose to glorify himself through us, and we will give him the glory. Amen. That's the best side to be on. And so, very quickly, we need to finish up here. So he says, be it according to thy word, verse 10 there, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frog shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from thy servants and from the people, they shall remain in the river only. Then the last thought, this is the Lord's commandment that he rejected it. Now it's an unconsidered consequence. Verse 12, very quickly, and Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and what? The land stank. One dead frog smells bad enough. I can't imagine heaps of them. If they were everywhere, I don't know how big those heaps were. I'd venture to say they were pretty big heaps. You probably were praying for no wind. Amen. But here's the thing. Notice what he did. Verse 15, this is the last verse. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he was just looking for a little reprieve. See, his heart was wrong. He hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. See, listen, God allows things into our lives that we might yield to the Lord, and the Lord is waiting to see if we'll trust him and yield to him. But the moment we begin to lean on our own understanding, the Lord says, I've got more work to do. I've got more work. This vessel's not ready, but I'm going to work on it. And then he's going to allow another trial to come in, and he's going to wait. And these trials are all various kinds. They're not necessarily, they don't have to be catastrophic. They can be just little things to see what are we going to get in the flesh or in the spirit? Are we going to let God have his way, or are we going to handle it ourselves? Are we going to let the glory and grace of God shine through our lives, or are we going to give somebody what for? So that's the difference, right? The Spirit of God, if it's flowing through us, is gentle, kind, long-suffering, love. And we know the moment we're in control, because all that's missing. There's no mercy. There's no grace. There's no gentleness. There's no kindness. We all know that. We all know that. And once we start yielding to the Lord, the flesh becomes easier to spot. Easier to spot. Once we start seeing the Lord work through our lives, the flesh will just stand out. We'll go, ooh, Lord, crucify the flesh. That's horrible. That's horrible. We'll see the flesh, and God will allow us to see his Spirit at work. We know when the Spirit's working, because we say, I would have never done that. I would have never been that kind. I would have not been that long-suffering. Praise the Lord. Take the time to praise God. That's your work, not mine. And Lord, continue to do that and build that to your honor and glory. And then we start learning as Paul did. Amen? Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne thanking you, Lord, for your mercy, your great love to us, your patience, your kindness, and your willingness to want to use each and every one of us as a witness of your great grace. What a blessing as a child of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the God of heaven, to be used for your honor and glory. May you do your will and your work in and through our lives. May we yield and present ourselves daily as a living sacrifice for you to glorify yourself in. May you bless as we break off our prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.